You're listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions and views expressed on the show are not necessarily those at the station, the university, or the UC Board of Regents. Welcome to In the Garden with UC Master Gardeners. I'm Katrina Kirkaby, and I'm here with Tina Spindler, and we're going to be doing This Month in the Garden today.
Hello, September.
September, it happened really fast, didn't it?
It did. Where did summer go? Although technically, I guess September is still summer until the 23rd or something like that. But yeah, everybody's going back to school and people are going back to work and off their vacation schedules. And so we need to get back to the garden.
Yes, but you know, it's so funny. It's still hot. You know, the days are shorter. Have you noticed the days are getting shorter?
Yeah, that's the good thing is, although September can be one of the hottest months, at least the days are shorter, so the hours of heat are less. So although we still need to pay attention to watering, it's not quite as critical as, you know, in those long days of July and August.
You know, I've been noticing where I've had to water some plants every day. Now I don't have to.
That's
you know,
nice.
Even though it's hot, it's been hot, yeah. But it's just like, oh, there's still some moisture there from yesterday, where last month there was no moisture there from yesterday, even if I deep watered it.
Yeah, it was brutal on some days. It's still too hot, though, for me to work much in the garden. I'm still limiting my time to, you know, early mornings because it's just not pleasant to work in the garden in the heat.
I agree with you. I get up early in the morning. Until this, you know, like early, like I'm out around 6, you know, and that's why I know days are getting shorter because
there you go.
It's hot. I live a little bit more inland and it gets warm early. And so I'm out there early in the morning. And if I don't get it all done, I'm out after the sun has passed, you know, and I'm working in the shade in the late afternoon, early evening. And those are the two times that I tend to work in the garden. I see people working out there and I'm like, how do they do that? I would wither.
Yeah, no, I've never been really good at heat. So I'm definitely a morning person, or as you said, work in the shade, the shady part of the garden as the sun gets hot. But September is still a really busy month in the garden, but you just have to be judicious and focus on the things that really need to get done, because the really busy month in the garden is October. For me, that is the busiest month of the year.
A lot to do in October, so we're going to have a really busy show. And I tend to be busy trying to get ready for the following months.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of what I do is like preparing so I don't have to do it the next day.
Yeah.
And there's always seems to be something to do to get ready for the next day or the next month.
Well, that's what I think of September as a get ready for fall month. It's hot, but shorter days. So what can we do? Well, we can start seeds, because we know we're going to be switching to the cool season crops, both for our veggie gardens and for our flower gardens. So we talked about seeds starting in August, but if you didn't get seeds started in six packs, in containers, you can still do it in the first part of September, because most seeds need, you know, 4 to 8 weeks to be ready to go out in the garden. And so if you do it in early September, then you're going to have seeds that are ready to go out, plants that are ready to go out in your garden in mid-October to late October, early November, which is just perfect. So if you didn't get a chance to start seeds, do it now. Do it in this first week or two of September. And the seeds I like to start are mostly flower seeds this time of year, because a lot of the cool season veggie seeds like lettuce and peas grow great when you just direct sow them in the ground.
Exactly.
You don't really need to start them in six packs. The ones that you would need to start in six packs would be the cole crops like cabbage and broccoli and cauliflower. Those are better started in six packs. But honestly, because my garden isn't that huge, I just buy six packs of those myself.
I love buying six packs. You know, it just makes life, sometimes I'm not as good at taking care of my little seed packages. And those six packs are just easy. You know, you go to your local garden place and you pick up a six pack. Where I find I like using planting seeds, stuff that I can't get in the store.
Exactly.
You know, and that's what I save to what can't I get in the local store. And so those are the ones, how I define it for myself. I think you do too with your flower seeds.
Exactly. So the flower seeds that I like to plant from seed this time of year, and I do every year because I love tall flowers, and you can't get those in the nurseries very often. The ones that I love to plant in particular are stock. If you have never planted an imperial stock, it grows 4 feet tall and the scent will just knock your socks off. You can smell it across the garden almost. In fact, I like to plant it under my second floor master bedroom window so that I can open the window and the French doors and just have that scent come right in the bedroom. It just is heavenly. So that's one that I always plant.
Would you mind saying that again?
Sure.
In case anybody missed that.
Sure. A stock. And the tall variety is called Imperial.
And I have never seen them in a store.
I have seen them at the more specialty stores, but they're often only in the 4-inch, transplants. And those are going for what, $5 each now? And so I have a pretty big yard, so I don't want to spend $100, just planting a bed of that one flower. So
I think they're hard to find too. So you're lucky you found them, and especially the more higher end stores.
It's only because I look for them and I go to nurseries often. So, but in general, no, they're really hard to find.
And a package of seeds is very inexpensive.
Yeah. $3 or whatever. So that's what I plant. The other thing I always plant are the tall snapdragons, because you can find lots of snapdragons in the nurseries, but they're always relatively short. And if you get the tall varieties, again, those will grow to 4 or 5 feet or better. And they're, if you have the room to plant a number of them, they're stunning, in a bouquet, if you can get a couple of them in a bouquet. So my favorite there is Rocket. That is also a little bit rust resistant. It's supposed to be. You can sometimes find 6-packs of Rocket in nurseries, but you really have to look, and it's, hit or miss whether that variety is available. The other problem is that when you do find it, it's always in a mixed pack.
Yes.
So you don't know what colors you're going to get. And I'm not super great at designing gardens, but one thing I do know is that if you can plant swaths of color rather than a kerjumble of different colors, it's much more impressive and gives your garden a more cohesive look. So I will go to a seed catalog where I can order yellow Rocket seeds or pink Rocket seeds instead of just the mixed colors.
And they're so impressive, Tina, because I think also our eyes are used to people having in their garden what you get from the nursery.
Yes.
And these are big and beautiful, and they're unusual. I mean, even they don't sound unusual, but they're really the size and the size and the beauty is you don't get them. It's like, how did she grow that? Because that is like, man, she really must be a master gardener. How did she get it to be 4 feet tall?
Well, as you said, seeds are a little bit of work and they can be a little tricky. And so I kind of reserve that effort for the things that are impressive that you can't get somewhere else.
And I've really learned too that to save the effort.
Yeah.
There's some people that plant everything by seed, and I'm not that good.
Well, when I was really into seeds and I was just enamored of, growing things from seed, I did do a ton. I even had a greenhouse built so that I could, start seeds in the greenhouse. Now I just do a little bit because there's other stuff that is going on,
Yeah, there's a season for everything, isn't there?
In your garden and in your life, perhaps. Yeah.
So. And if you want to plant everything by seeds, to plant everything, and if your time's a little shorter, busy lives right now, let's just pick what you want to plant from seeds. But
right.
Those are two really special ones.
I will mention a couple others. One that's super easy to start from seed is calendula. That comes in shades of oranges and you know, pale orange, dark orange, almost a pale yellow. And calendula is an edible flower. So, and they're super easy to grow from seed. So if you want an easy one to start from seed, I would suggest calendula.
And about how tall do they get?
They don't get that tall. So they're probably 12 inches or so mm-hmm. tall. And they can be a little bit sprawly, and later in the season they can get some powdery mildew. But they're just so easy to grow. They might just be, you know, fun to grow.
And nice to put in front of those tall plants.
Exactly. Some plants that you can plant directly in the ground in front of those tall plants would be alyssum. So if you want to, you know, throw some alyssum seeds out, you know, when your tall things are ready to be transplanted, go ahead and do that. The other thing that I do is I interplant those stock and snapdragons with bulbs. So, which is a great segue into bulbs. Should we talk about that next?
Tina is the bulb queen. So your bulbs have always turned out so beautiful. So it's just absolutely lovely, and how you intersperse them and how they come through other plants and how you time it. It's just magical.
Well, that's actually what hooked me in gardening early on is I just happened to, you know, buy a couple of packages of bulbs. I think it was freesias and Dutch iris were my first ones that I just grabbed. And what was amazing is that anybody can look like a master gardener when they plant bulbs because they aren't as sensitive as seeds. They come with their own little source of food. You know, they look, picture an onion, right? It's this nice, bulky thing. And, you know, the bulbs are smaller than onions, but kind of the same concept. They have all of their food with them in that package. So when you plant them in the ground and you water them, maybe even only once, up they come. And when it's time for them to bloom, you've got daffodils and iris, and if you move into some of the corms, you get ranunculus and anemones, and they're just spectacular. And the bulb flowers almost look fake, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're so perfect. Picture a daffodil or a tulip. They almost look plastic. They're just so perfect. So I'm a huge fan, as Katrina knows, of bulbs. And what you want to do this month is you can plant some bulbs, but some you'll just want to buy and wait until October, late October to plant, because the bulbs want a little bit cooler temperature, some of the traditional bulbs, and some of the bulbs actually need to be chilled, like tulips, for instance, and hyacinths. Personally, I don't plant those anymore because it's too much work for me to chill them. But if I know people who are just diehard tulip fans and they plant them every year, but they have to buy them in September and chill them for 6 to 8 weeks before they're ready to go out in the garden because they don't naturally grow in our warm winters. They need a chilling period, which we just don't get naturally.
You know, another thing with tulips for me, they don't last long enough. You know, it's a lot for me. I'm just getting cranky here, you know. It's like, it's a lot of work. And then if I'm gone for a short period of time, my tulips are gone. You know, and it takes space and work. And like, gosh, I want something that's going to stay there a little while for all that effort. But they're beautiful. I love them.
They are. And
in other people's gardens.
If you love them, here's one of the ways. I don't do them at all anymore, but one of the ways that I switched to doing them for a number of years is I planted them in pots. And when I planted them in pots, they weren't taking up space in my garden. And even though they only bloomed for a really short time, and you only get one flower per bulb, so it's generally, so it's kind of an expensive proposition to buy those bulbs for one flower. But if you chill them and then plant them in pots, you can just stick them in a corner of your patio or something. And then when they bloom, move them to your front door or a walkway, you know, or your patio where they're very visible. So if you do really like tulips, and most of us have limited in garden, you know, in the ground space, that's a way to do tulips where you get a pop of color, but it's not using up, you know, a bunch of your garden space. The other thing that you can do in pots is I like to do a layered bulb pot, and that is super fun. You get perhaps three different kinds of bulbs. I like to do daffodils, Dutch iris, and then either freesias or ranunculus or anemones as my top layer. So the way you plant bulbs is you have to plant them deeper than they are tall. So if you've got a daffodil bulb, which is probably, you know, 3 inches big, you have to plant that 6 inches deep. The bottom of the bulb has to be 6 inches deep so that you can put 3 inches of soil over the top. But for your Dutch iris, which are only maybe an inch, inch and a half, you know, you would plant them shallower and so on. With the ranunculus corms, you barely cover them with soil at all. They live pretty close to the surface. So what's cool about doing a pot is if you get a pot that, say, is, you know, 8 inches deep, and you fill it with a couple inches of potting soil, and then you set your daffodils on top of that, then you cover those with more potting soil, but you leave just the tips visible so that you can put your Dutch iris in between the tips of the daffodils. Then you cover those just until the tips are barely visible. And then you plant your last flower, whether it's a freesia or a ranunculus or an anemone, in between those. So then what happens is all of them come up and they look, you know, semi-crowded, but they have enough soil because you've layered them that they do fine. And then you get a succession of blooms. So the daffodils may bloom first, then the Dutch iris next, the ranunculus last. Or maybe if you choose late daffodils, they may bloom at the same time as some of those other bulbs. But
it's
just a fun thing to do.
And it's one way to keep it going.
It is.
And it's then, like, it's not your pot is done now.
Yeah. And then you can, you know, when that pot is done, you can just, you know, dump it out, save the bulbs for the next year if you want to, but you're not committing a large area of your garden to these bulbs that only be in bloom for a short time. And then finally, on the last layer, you can even set some annuals, like some pansies or alyssum, you know, so that while you're waiting for the bulbs to come up, you have something to look at. So anyway, that's kind of a really fun project for bulbs.
And it's fun, and it's also a surprise. You know, it's sitting there and like, what's going to come up? Nobody knows except for you.
And it's also actually, I have used them for Thanksgiving time gifts, especially if you have like pansies planted on the top. You take this, you know, pot and you say, oh, here, I'm bringing you some potted flowers, but you keep an eye on this because you're going to have surprise blooms starting probably the end of January and then maybe in February and into March. So it's the gift that keeps on giving. Yeah. So that's kind of a fun thing to do.
And then the people keep thinking about, what did Tina do? Like, how did she do that?
Yeah. So that's fun. But let's talk a minute about planting bulbs in the garden, because I started out by saying that if you plant these tall annuals like the stock and the snapdragons, you can plant some bulbs in between. And I really like to do that because you then have a succession of things that are blooming in your garden. So I will typically plant, I love ranunculus. That's my favorite flower. And just as a segue, if you haven't been to the ranunculus fields, the flower fields in Carlsbad, California, be sure you go next spring, because you'll see acres, tens of acres of these ranunculus, and you'll fall in love with them.
It's stunning to see a carpet like that going over rolling hills, and it's just absolutely stunning. You know, Google it. Go look it up.
Yeah.
It's something.
So just remember that for next spring. But in the meantime, when you plant them is in November in Southern California. And so you can get your other, you know, plants in the ground in October, but you'll see you have little spaces in between. So you can just, you've already prepared the soil when you planted those other plants. So then you can just take a little bulb dibber, which is a tool that just makes little holes for bulbs, or a little trowel, and you can just put your ranunculus in between your other flowers. And think about your color scheme. You might want to have, you know, for instance, white snapdragons with pink ranunculus, you know, beautiful combination. Or maybe you want to do something bright and eye-catching. You could do the tall rocket yellow snapdragons with orange, because believe me, these ranunculus come in the most stunning colors. So a deep orange and a bright yellow, I mean, how cool would that be? Maybe edged with a little bit of lobelia, blue lobelia or something. So
and she says she doesn't design.
purely by accident, by trial and error mostly. But before you plant any of your bulbs or your annuals, you're going to want to dig up your flower beds, pour a bag of compost on it, pour some, you know, fertilizer, chop it all up with your cultivator, smooth it out, and then you're ready to plant either bulbs or annuals.
And you know, Tina, what you're saying right there is a lot of people, a lot of us just want to get in and plant, but cleaning up is so important to give yourself a new palette to start all over with and just make, you know, put it, amend the soil and clean up and get the weeds out. And just, it, that's a whole project in and of itself before you even start.
Absolutely. And that's why September is such a great month in the garden. Maybe not for planting, but it's when you get to get ready to do all your planting. So just yank that stuff out that's done blooming. You know, those tomatoes that are all diseased, and I mean, don't yank them if they still have tomatoes, but if they're pooping out, you know, go ahead and start yanking stuff. The green beans that are done, you know, yank those things out and get ready to do your new planting next month in October.
And you know, it's a good month to start planting stuff too, you know, to go look at those bulbs and to see what you want and to think about, you know, clean up. And then I also found that if I wait too late to order bulbs, the choice is not there.
Yes.
So it's like they're sold out.
Yeah.
And it's that is so frustrating when you actually go, this is what I want to do, and then you can't find what you want anywhere. So this is a good month too to think about what you want, look at catalogs, find out what kind of bulbs you want and the color combinations. Because I'm not as quick as you, Tina. It takes me a while to figure out these color combinations and then to time it and how big things are. And I spend more time thinking about it. You know, you've done it so much. So I think other people might be more like me. It just takes a bit of planning. And it's nice when you're not rushed.
Oh, for sure.
You know, you can just go look at those catalogs and, well, what kind of bulbs do I want and what do I want behind it and what color and how tall is this one and how tall is that one? And then ordering. That's time consuming.
Yeah, that's time consuming too. I do love ordering from catalogs because there's often a better selection than what you can find in our local nurseries. So do consider ordering from catalogs. It is a great way to get things. Also, there are some catalogs that let you order in bulk. So if you have a bigger yard and you want to plant, you know, not just 8 daffodils, but you want to plant 50, you know, look at a couple of different catalogs because some of them give you a break on price if you order in bigger quantities. And also some of the things that I love to plant here, you can't find in the nurseries, which is kind of surprising because we can plant a lot of South African bulbs. And recent years, I've been having a harder time finding those, but you can usually find them in catalogs. And I'll just mention some of my favorites. And those you can actually plant in September if you have a space and you want to get going. So the South African bulbs I like to plant are called Babiana oxalis. And I know we think of oxalis as a weed because we often have what we call oxalis that we pull out. But there are oxalis bulbs that are beautiful flowers. Freesia, that's my favorite. And you plant Freesia and you'll have it forever. It comes back year after year after year.
Oh, it smells so good.
Oh, and the scent, I love it. And then two others are Ixia and Crocosmia. And then one that isn't necessarily South African is a daffodil, but they're the Tazetta, T-A-Z-E-T-T-A daffodils. That's what paper whites are. You know, we often mm-hmm. will do the paper whites and force them, you know, for bloom at Christmas time indoors. But the Tazettas, whether they're paper whites or they come in other colors too, actually do great outdoors. I never, when I force paper whites, throw them away. Never throw them away when they're done blooming. I always plant them out in my garden. And I probably have, I don't know, hundreds, maybe a thousand of them out in my garden because they just naturalize here in our climate. So those are fabulous, the Tazetta daffodils.
And you know what's so nice too is like when they start sprouting, you forgot about them. Oh. And all of a sudden you have, last year I was gone. You know, I didn't really do much winter gardening and I came home and all these wonderful things were coming up and I had neglected it. And it's like I got presents.
They are. And the Tazettas bloom in the fall here. They don't bloom in the spring. They bloom mm-hmm. in the fall. So when my garden doesn't have much blooming at all in end of September, October, the paper whites are blooming, which is, like you said, such a nice surprise to see those little guys blooming. We have to do a little announcement, but not for a few more minutes yet. So onward with bulbs. The other thing to remember when you're planting these bulbs that naturalize, like the paper whites or the freesias, is pick a place. I like to do them kind of in between shrubs or perennials. And the reason is because they naturalize, I don't want to be digging them up every year. I just want them to keep coming back. So say I have an area where I have a couple of perennials planted. If there's space in between those perennials, then I dig a hole and plant my freesias or, you know, other naturalizing bulbs, because then I never have to touch that area again. I'll have those freesias and those paper whites coming up for a number of years. Now, eventually the plants may get too crowded and you might want to, like this year, I did dig up some of them so that I could divide the bulbs. And actually that gives you more children to plant somewhere else. But for a good, you know, 3 to 5 years, you can probably get away with just leaving them in place.
You know, and our lives are so busy. Isn't that nice?
Super nice.
You don't have to do anything and then you just get this beautiful plant coming up.
Yeah.
Just super nice.
It is. It's a special treat. And then the bulbs that I buy now when I see them, but or order them when I see them in a catalog, but plant later at the end of October, early November, would be daffodils other than the Tazettas, the Dutch iris, the ranunculus, and the anemone. So I wait to plant those until late October, the first week of November. I personally don't plant tulips or hyacinths, but as we already discussed, if you want to plant those, you need to pre-chill them and then plant those at the same time, the late October, early November, out in the garden.
Oh, how lovely. And guess what? Now it's time to make our announcement. So you are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. And the opinions and views expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the station, the university, or the UC Board of Regents. Ah, Tina, where would you like to go from here?
Well, as long as we're going to talking about flowers, let's finish up flowers real quick. As I said, October is going to be the busiest month in the garden. At least it is for me, because we're going to be planting our new cool season annuals, our cool season veggies, our bulbs, but we're also going to be planting perennials. So our anything in the chrysanthemum family, like our Shasta daisies, it's a great time to be planting all of those perennial flowering plants as well. But I wouldn't plant them in September. I think it's a little bit too hot unless you live right near the beach. So I would wait until September to plant those perennials.
You mean October?
October. Sorry. Wait till October unless you're at the beach.
You know, I also find I live inland and it's hotter there and we get a lot of Santiana winds. So that's a time where I'm always careful planning and waiting a little bit longer is kind of nice.
Yeah. Again, it depends on where you live. If you're close to the beach, you know, you can plant in the latter part of September. But if you're not right at the beach, it's probably a little risky to plant then.
I've had so many times where it's like planting something and I'm like, oh, it's cooled off. And then in 2 weeks, it heats up.
It does. We get some of our worst Santa Ana conditions in October, right? Or even early November. One of the things that I do sometimes try to plant in the late September, because I love them, are sweet peas.
Oh, I love sweet peas.
Yeah. But I only do it if I'm going to be home because I plant those from seed directly where they're going to grow. Along a fence is a great place because if you get the tall ones, you need to be able to stake them. And so I do like to plant those the end of September, but I want to be home for the first few weeks that they're in the ground to make sure they're getting watered appropriately and they don't sprout and then die because the Santa Anas are killing them. But one of the reasons it's good to plant them in September if you're going to be home is that then they'll start blooming before Christmas. And that is so fun to have those highly scented sweet pea bouquets in your house over the holidays. I just love that.
I love having it in the house. I love having them in the garden. You walk by and it's just like a present with that smell. It's just lovely.
Totally. And if you do plant them, and they're the taller varieties, you do need to give them something to climb on. So put a little, you know, netting trellis or something that they can grab onto. And they will grab on because they have those little tendrils that they just latch onto anything. And you're also going to want to choose what are called early sweet peas or daylight neutral sweet peas, because we're going into the season where we get less sunlight. So you want to make sure they're the kind that are going to be blooming and be okay with less sunlight. And those are the ones that are called early or daylight neutral sweet peas.
Now, do you buy those at a nursery or do you order those online too?
You can order them online. I have, if I wanted to have a certain kind. For instance, if you like the ones that are highly scented, make sure that you read the seed packet because some are more highly scented than others.
Some are way more highly scented than others. First time I grew them, I didn't know about that. And I'm like, sweet peas are supposed to smell. And I'm like, what did I do wrong?
Yeah, of them are not super smelly. And then there are some that are kind of unusual colors. Like one year I ordered from a catalog ones that were blue. They were kind of purpley, but they were, you know, labeled as a blue sweet pea just because, you know, sometimes you want to do something different. But a lot of the times you can just go to the nurseries. You know, our local nurseries usually have a good selection of seed packets for them. But just remember to look for early ones and highly scented ones if that's what you want.
And then you also find you have to pay attention because some of them don't grow very tall and some of them grow very, very tall.
Yeah, there are some that are short. So if you want the shorter varieties because you're going to try and grow them in pots or you know, at the front, more towards the front part. They're not good for the very front. All of them grow at least like 2 feet high. So
You don't want to put a big trellis out and then get a 2 foot high sweet pea.
Exactly. So make sure you read the packet. And then what else to talk about for our flower gardens? Azaleas, they like to be fed twice a year. Late September is the second time. You feed them after they bloom, you know, in late winter, early spring, but you feed them a second time in late September. And then the last flower I can think of is roses. Of course, we love our roses.
Gina and her roses.
So you want to keep deadheading your roses and fertilizing them, because if you keep fertilizing them like in September, you're going to have a bunch of blooms at Thanksgiving.
And it's so nice to have things going off, you know, that this time of year. And it's just beautiful.
Especially if you have out-of-state visitors coming for the holidays. They'll be amazed that you have roses in November or even December.
Or as Tina has them all year long.
Well, those are those iceberg roses. Yes, if you've got iceberg roses, they bloom all year long.
But it really, it is nice, especially if you have, even if you don't have, I mean, people from out of state just like, what did you do? But it's just, it's warming when you have company over, you go out and you just have them blooming. It's just, and it's so simple.
Yeah.
Just give them some fertilizer and they grow.
Deadhead them, fertilizer, they're happy.
Yeah.
I guess I should mention tropicals, because talking about people when they come from the East, they're always amazed at our, you know, hibiscus and other blooming tropicals. One thing to remember is you don't want to feed your tropicals anymore, because they are sensitive to frost. And so we don't want to have new growth abundant in November when we might get a first frost. So we usually quit feeding them after the end of September. So they may not be so impressive for your relatives, but oh well, you don't want them to be damaged if the frosts come.
And you like them, so yeah, it's work. You know, you don't want to have damage any of your plants. You know, just make it as easy as possible.
Yeah. So I think that covers our flower garden, unless you have any tips or issues you want to cover, yeah. Katrina.
Pace yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's hot out there. You know, pace yourself, start pulling stuff up, start gathering. You know, I think we've pretty much covered it. There's a lot to, you know, I could only do so much a day. So I just do something every day. And then if I have to miss a day or miss a couple days, I'm ahead of the game.
Yeah. And so these days I'm only getting out in my garden about once a week. So I am choosing things that are less and less labor intensive.
Same here.
Yeah. So, but
you know,
but
everything, there's a season. I think when we were younger, we were doing a lot of things differently. And now we're sitting here going, how can we work around that? And what's an easier, and that plant I don't have to plant every year. And oh, those bulbs come back. And, you know, and I'm busy doing other things. And so, yeah, just it's time to be a little bit mindful. So everybody's got something. Some people have a lot more time to do things and you got shorter periods. Oh, and think about that. You know, one of my things is I get too excited and I plant too much. And then I'm sitting there going, God, I have a lot to take care of. So, you know, and I constantly have to think about that. It's just like to scale back a little bit. It's going to be fine. So, you know, when you're out there planting, think about it's not only when you're planting, it's how much time is going to take, how much time it takes to take care of everything you've planted.
Exactly. Yeah. Speaking of time, we should probably move on to veggies, because October is going to be a great time for us to switch out from our hot season plants like tomatoes and peppers and squash and beans to cool season plants like lettuces and peas and root vegetables. But in Southern California, there's no definite time when you do it. You aim for October, but sometimes your tomatoes are just going gangbusters.
Yeah.
In October. So when we talk about these times to plant things, it's not a hard and fast rule. It depends on what's happening in your garden. You know, maybe your tomatoes got attacked by some fungal diseases and they're pooped out and ready to be ripped out. And if they are, that's great. Then you can start planting your greens and your root veggies. But don't panic if you don't have room. The cool thing about cool vegetables is that you can plant them the whole cool season. So it's not like a gotta plant them right now.
And you know what we do is we succession planting. So I know I can't eat 12 broccoli tomorrow, but if I plant some this week and in 2 weeks I plant some more and in 2 weeks I plant some more and in 2 weeks I plant some more, it gives me a steady flow of what I eat. And that's really nice about winter vegetables. And then I tend to, in the summertime, I plant some tomatoes late. So I push them into the season as far as I
sure.
can. They won't be as productive, but I'm still getting tomatoes in November and I don't want to pull that up either. But once the tomato plants I planted in March, it's pretty much that they're going to be retired and I can start planting something else.
Exactly.
So it just works for me as a home gardener. I like to have stuff all the time. You know, so I will be having winter stuff and summer stuff, and some of it looks better than the others. And one thing I've had to do is learn to be brutal.
Yeah, it's sometimes hard to pull out that tomato plant because, oh gosh, it still has 3 tomatoes left on it. But then I'm thinking, but I really want to get some carrots in the ground because the grandkids love to pick carrots, and I'm out of carrots. So you're out of here, tomato plant. So you have to choose based on what's the most important thing to you. Or, you know, like I'm dying for some fresh arugula from the garden again. Oh. And so it's like, okay, tomato, you're out of here. I'm planting arugula where you were. But let's talk about our favorites for the fall garden. Katrina knows my favorite plant for fall planting is blue curly kale. I love that. It actually grows year round, but it's best to start it in the garden in the fall when it's cool. But I still have my ones I planted last fall are still there.
Yeah.
They're about 5 feet tall, but I'm still picking leaves off of them. So I love blue curly kale, but you have some other kales that you like.
Oh, what's my favorite kale? We're going to come back to that.
Oh, I remember. Was it cosmic kale?
Cosmic kale. Yeah. I love my cosmic kale. So does my llamas. I have to, when I walk them through the vegetable garden, I have to be real careful because they like to bite my cosmic kale and eat it. So, but my cosmic kale, I love it because it's not as quite as bitter as the other kale, but I also like mixing like 3 or 4 or 5 kales together, you know, and making a salad out of that or saute out of that. But, yeah, so your favorite is blue curly kale. What else do you like to plant?
And then I do like to plant some lettuces, but I am a little bit picky about the lettuces that I pick because I want ones that are not going to bolt super quick. Because as you mentioned earlier, you know, we get some of those Santa Anas in November, and here's this lettuce that you just planted the beginning of October, and it may bolt, you know, by the end of November. And so you've only gotten, you know, a few weeks out of
And you also picking have to it. Look at, if you live at the beach, you know, there's the beach, then there's Tina, and then there's Katrina.
Right.
And I can't plant some of the stuff when you plant it because it's warmer where I live. Right. I just live, you know, a little bit farther inland, and I can't plant lettuces, you know, I have to wait a little bit longer.
Yeah, and I like to actually get 6 packs of lettuce because I like having the different colors. And so I'll get a purple romaine. I do love to plant romaine because I think it holds up pretty well in the garden. So I'll get maybe a purple romaine and a green butterhead and maybe some other variegated ones. You know how you can get them that are the green and the purple mixed together. And I just like to get 6 packs of those because that's enough to fill up practically one of my raised beds. With, you know, a row of peas behind it. And, you know, so that, and the other reason a lettuce is super easy to grow from seed, but one of the reasons I like the 6 packs is you can start harvesting in 2 weeks. You know, you don't have to wait, you know, 30 days to harvest. So I do like to plant arugula by seed because I like my arugula really young. So I pick the arugula when it's only like 4 inches tall
because it tastes better.
I just like the sweeter
the
taste
sweeter,
of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do keep carrots going, as I said, because the grandkids love to pick carrots. And so I have Nantes is my favorite variety there. It seems to give me some pretty nice, long, straight carrots and is super reliable. So Nantes has become my go-to carrot variety. Do you have one that you like?
Yeah, I think those are great.
Yeah.
Have you ever roasted carrots?
Oh, I roast them. I roasted them last night.
I love roasted carrots. And I had so many carrots and I pulled them up this last year and I just start roasting and they last quite a while too. And oh my God, with a little bit of thyme on them. And
They're so good. Yeah. I fixed them last night. My daughter and her two little ones were here and we discovered that, the 10-month-old who's, you know, doing finger food, when you roast a carrot, it becomes mushy enough that but you have a little bit of a stick, you know, like a 3-inch long stick that putting that in a 10-month-old hand. Oh my gosh. She thought she had candy. She was, you know, gnawing those, those roasted carrot sticks.
Oh, how precious.
Like it was candy. So, yeah, I love roasted carrots.
I love roasted carrots.
And then I do love to grow green onions because I hate buying green onions, using two of them, and having the rest of the bunch turn to slime in my refrigerator.
Yeah.
So I do plant green onions all the time because then you just go out and pick however many you want. So those will be the ones that I start with off the bat. And then I will get 6 packs of broccoli and cauliflower and cabbage because I am too lazy to try and grow those from seed.
Or same thing. It's just so easy. And you get so farther ahead and, you know, time gets, we keep talking about time, but, and then we tend to we keep planting more and more. And sometimes you might not need 6 and you have friends or neighbors. You can, if we plant a few and then plant a few more, we love, and then we push our spring vegetables, you know, our winter vegetables all the way through the spring.
You gave me the most beautiful heads of broccoli last year. I was so glad you had extra.
We'll do it again this year because this is what we do.
Yeah.
And it's funny how late we had them too.
Yeah. I think you were giving me broccoli in May, June, something. Yeah.
End of May, you were getting broccoli. And that was we pushed it. We planted it later than quote unquote we should. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, if it doesn't, it doesn't work. And if it does, I mean, because I'm not going to have, I only eat stuff in season. So I'm not going to have broccoli until, you know, it's going to be like almost a year, a whole season before I could have broccoli again. So if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But yeah. I got some wonderful broccoli.
Well, that's one of the things I really do enjoy about the winter, what we call the winter or cool season vegetables here in Southern California. That season lasts so long. And you can keep planting that stuff. You might plant your first crop in October, another one in January, and another one in, you know, March.
And we do it actually more than that. But, okay, here's a hard one. If you have space, you want to plant it all out, right? So you have to leave that space because you're going to be planting in 2 or 3 more weeks. At least that's what we do. So I could only plant so much because how much can I eat? So that's what I have to think about. How much can we really eat? And then I have to leave that space open because in 3 weeks, I'm going to be planting some more. And then 3 weeks after that, I'm going to plant some more. So it's one of those things where you can get real excited and want to plant your whole bed out, but you got to save some space.
So yeah, for sure.
And if you want to do the rotation, I don't go to the grocery store for vegetables.
Wow.
You know, I bought some garlic this year and not too much else.
Wow, that's amazing.
But, you know, we have the space, but we also have to make sure we still have the space.
Yeah, to do the next crop.
To do the next crop or, you know, it's not, maybe we don't plant a lot. But we plant and, you know, like how much can we eat, right?
Right.
And so you just kind of plant it so we keep it going throughout the whole season.
Yeah. No, it's so much fun. And even if you do have to go to the grocery store, which I still buy broccoli because my husband likes broccoli, so I have to buy it for part of the year. It's just more fun to eat when you harvest it from your own garden. And I do think it has a little bit more intense flavor.
It has a lot
when
more
you
intense.
Come.
A lot. The broccoli stems. I mean, we argue who gets the stems. And when you buy them in the store, a lot of times you're not eating the broccoli stem.
You throw that away. Yeah, you put it in the compost bin.
Yeah, but at home, it's like the broccoli stems are the best part. They're soft and tender and flavorful and juicy. And same thing with the cauliflower stems. I mean, when you got the first time I had homegrown cauliflower, I didn't really like cauliflower, right? I'm like, oh, I don't want to eat this. And we were at a farmer's market somewhere back east. And I'm like, oh my gosh, the stems are so good. So yes, I mean, there's a definite, for me, it's a definite taste. And it's hard for me to go out and buy it because I'm spoiled.
Yeah. Well, and I can attest from when my own kids were growing up until now, my grandkids are toddler age and starting school, those kids eat so many vegetables because they go out into their own backyard. Because of course, my son is a pretty avid veggie gardener as well. And
go figure. Where did that apple fall from the tree?
The poor kid. He didn't have a choice. Anyway, his kids are just so excited that they run out, you know, and wait until you know, daddy, can we pick the broccoli? Can we pick the broccoli? You know, what kid is begging you, you know, to have broccoli, right?
We had that when the kids were little. Parents used to call and say, what are you feeding my children? They won't eat vegetables. And I'm like, oh, they love eating vegetables. And, you know, they circle for vegetables and they go pick them and we have them planting them. And it's a great way to get kids to start eating.
Yeah. And especially snap peas. They love to pick the snap peas and even the pod peas. You know, they love finding the treasure inside the pea pod. You know, they just think those little peas are magical.
And who cares if they make it into the house?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like, who really cares if they're eating it in the garden? It's just magical.
Yes. So anyway, if you have kids or grandkids, it's the best way to get them to eat veggies is to have a veggie garden for them. Even if it's just in pots, you can grow pretty much any veggie in a pot.
Well, I think you've talked about, you know, carrots in a pot. If you don't have room, just put some carrots.
Carrots in a pot is so fun.
And you've had it for the kids. It's their pot.
Yeah. Get it. Make it be their pot. Each kid can have their own pot of carrots. Get a half of a wine barrel and put a teepee of bamboo poles and let the pea seeds grow up those bamboo poles in a half wine barrel, and that's plenty enough of a veggie garden for little guys to get excited about it. They're not going to eat lettuce. They're not going to eat radishes probably, but they'll love that, those peas and carrots. They'll just, and broccoli, cauliflower, they'll be pretty excited about those.
Young.
Yeah. Before we, wrap up, I do want to, talk a little bit about, another planting opportunity that you want to plan for this month. And that would be if you want to transition any of your garden or want to add to an already existing native plant or a California friendly plant, drought tolerant plant. That the best time to plant those plants is October and November. So if you're going to want to convert, say, a section of your yard to that kind of a plant palette, plan it now in September so that you'll be ready to go in October and November.
And that is so great. You know, so many people want to just go and do it and go buy, but you got to plan this thing. This is a commitment that you're doing. And I think most of the work is actually in the planting.
It is. And also in the irrigation, you can't transition from a garden that uses what we used to think of as normal water to a drought tolerant garden piecemeal, because the water needs are so different that you're going to have to completely change out whatever section you're going to do to the drought tolerant at once. Because if you don't, you're either going to kill the new drought tolerant plants by watering them too much, or you're going to kill the non-drought tolerant plants by watering them too little. So it really is advisable to pick the section of your garden, whether you're replacing a lawn or, you know, a roadway strip or whatever it is, do it all at once. And
plan on it. And a lot of water districts, you can Google some water districts. They have great ideas online, because when I first started looking at them, it was so over my head. Like, where do I start and how do I do this? Am I just going to ruin everything? And the water districts are great.
They also have some rebates too.
Yeah.
Some of them have a replace your lawn rebate, and they'll also sometimes have rebates on some of the sprinkler systems, you know, to replace your nozzles with more drought tolerant rotator nozzles. So be sure and do the research with your water district this month and your plant choices this month. And if you're going to hire someone to do it professionally, you need to have the lead time for them to be able to get that all planned.
And you need to find them, because they're going to be busy too.
Yes, that is their busy time.
This is their busy time of the year. So if you're hiring, you know, start interviewing companies that you want, start looking at what you want to do. It's, you know, it's, I don't want to sound inundating, but it's just a lot of work. You know, it's a commitment.
It's a commitment.
You're changing it over.
And it's wonderful, and you'll love it, because the people that we know who have taken out their front lawns and replaced it with California-friendly plants, they create this habitat And be sure you put a chair or a bench out there, because now you're going to have all kinds of native butterflies, hummingbirds, birds visiting your garden. It's going to be a way more interesting place than your lawn was. So that's why you want to plan it out so that you have a place to sit and observe.
And you want to have success too.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not just like, oh, let's go buy some plants. Let's rip everything out and go buy some plants at the store. It's not going to work. You know, we want you guys to have success.
Yes. And then I forgot to mention the main reason you do it in October and November, and that's because our rains come. So you want to plant these native plants or drought tolerant plants right before our rains are coming, because that's what they're used to. They're used to winter rains and summer no rain. So the best way to get them started is to do it in October and November when the rains are coming.
And they need water. You know, they're babies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people think, oh, it's drought tolerant. And we've seen so many gardens fail because people plant it the wrong time of year and think, oh, well, it's drought tolerant. It doesn't need. But they do. You know, they need the winter rains. They need their little guys, and they need to get started.
And even that first summer, you're going to have to watch them and give them some water, because they won't be, you know, big enough yet, perhaps, to be sustained without some additional watering. And
that's another place where they fail a lot. Oh, it made it well through the winter, but their root systems aren't that big yet.
Not big enough. And even our native plants, you know, can benefit from a little bit of summer watering, just enough to, you know, because we do get some monsoon rains occasionally in the summer, or if you're close to the beach, you get a lot of moisture from, you know, our May gray and June gloom days. So these things aren't, unless they're cactus, you know, if it's a cactus, sure, you don't need to water it at all. But if it's a shrub of some kind, it's probably going to need a little bit of water.
Yeah. Well, I think it's about time we start wrapping up here, Tina. So we've covered a whole bunch of stuff and segued into a lot of different ideas. But, you know, September is a lot of cleaning up, a lot of planning.
Oh, the last thing I'll mention with cleaning up is start a compost pile. And we have a radio show on composting. So if you want to learn more about it, listen to our vault show on our Master Gardener website. And yes, Start a compost pile with all that stuff you're cleaning
up. Oh, and it's wonderful. I love my compost pile. It's a gift that keeps giving.
Maybe we'll talk a little bit about it next month in October.
Sounds good.
Happy gardening, everyone.
See you next month.